tonight in a special occasion. Just a moment, I'll be turning things over to Dan and Deb. As you know, Dan will be speaking and Deb about their battle with cancer. Just to give you a little idea, what also is going to happen tonight very quickly is that after I open with prayer and we turn it over to them, when we're done in here, which will be about 5:30, you're all welcome to come out to a corn roast. We have the corn from Peter's Farm, and it's a wonderful time. There's plenty of corn, so you can have as much as you want. There's watermelon. And then also, and this will be mentioned at the end as a reminder again, Dan and Deb will be available to my right, just beyond the cones that you saw when you came in. They'll be in that area so that you can greet them and talk to them after this is done tonight. Then later on, for anyone that would like to stay, there's going to be a, I can't say a bonfire anymore, so it's going to be a campfire in which we're going to enjoy it there. Well, only one announcement because it came up. There is a church meeting, as you know, the members here, on Wednesday. And for those who need absentee ballots, Ron Belden has them. And you can just see him. So that's for those that will need them. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll turn things right over. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your greatness and your goodness. We thank you and praise you, Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for Dan and Deb Anderson's testimony, for their love for you and the way you've worked in their lives. Pray you'd strengthen Dan and Deb tonight as they make this presentation, and that the Spirit of God would use what is said in the hearts of each and every one of us as it's evident that your hand is working. So we commit the evening to you and ask blessing even on the refreshments later, and we commit it all to you in Christ's name. Amen. I want to turn things right over to Deb, I think, is first.
Well, how do we even begin to say thanks? First, we want to thank each and every one of you for coming this evening. Your friendship, your love that's been displayed in so many ways over the past year has just been so overwhelming to us.
As we look out at the audience, we see our neighbors. My friend Gracia told me that if you're going to cry, you put the tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth and it will stop you. But that's hard to do when you're talking. We live in an awesome neighborhood where so many have rallied to our aid, helping in many practical ways. I'm going to write to Gracia and tell her if it works or not. Deanne will show you some pictures in a few minutes of our wonderful neighbors and say more, but thank you, neighbors, for all that you've done.
In addition to neighbors, I have some of my work associates here this evening, and actually some of them have traveled a significant distance to be here this evening, so thanks for coming.
And then there are our immediate family and relatives, many of whom are here tonight. They're always willing to help at a moment's notice, always anxious to share our burdens. My brother sends me texts at 4 a.m. He's an early morning riser, so if I have any waking hours in the middle of the night, he's a good one to text. My mom and Reggie are here. They drove almost 3 hours to get here, and they're driving back immediately after the meeting tonight. Then there's our church family who have been so helpful to us in so many ways. We've received hundreds and hundreds of get well cards from our church family and others. Many also sent a quick word of encouragement by text or by email.
In regard to our church family, the men of the church here have just had such a ministry to me over the last, especially the last 5 months. For about 5 months, I wasn't able to get out to church due to complications of the chemo I was receiving, low immunity, other complications. And during that time, I don't think a single week went by without one of you men coming to visit me at home and in a couple instances in the hospital. So thanks a lot for your ministry. It really meant a lot to me.
And don't forget about the thousands of people who have prayed for us. We get messages daily. People are praying for us constantly, around the clock. Thanks to social media, we have people praying for us around the country and around the globe.
You know, there's even people we've never met before who are or have been praying over the past year for us. A few weeks ago, I visited a food pantry over in Lawrence, and it was my opportunity to say thanks to the volunteers there at the food pantry who for months now on a weekly basis had been praying for me, someone they had never met before. And this was all due to one of my neighbors who volunteers at the pantry there. And Mike, I thank you, and thanks for being here tonight.
And don't forget those who have sent gifts. A neighbor stopping in with a fruit basket, a friend stopping by with a potted plant and leaving it on my doorstep, and other gifts that we've received from friends.
I want to show you a couple of the gifts that we've received. Here's a nice little homemade plaque someone made for me. It has, actually, it was a family from the church here. Family I dearly love, but they made this plaque, 20 different scripture verses on it, all verses from God's word of encouragement. And I had this infrared sauna I was using, and I get in the sauna and on my cell phone look up the verses, and I thank you. That meant a lot to me. Also, here is another gift that arrived on a day when I was feeling a little punk. Little musical globe. And just so many acts of kindness, little gifts along the way, and it didn't need to be anything extravagant. Just the fact someone was thinking of me enough to send something my way meant so much.
There are so many more which we should thank, but it would take us all night if we mentioned them individually. Please just allow us to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And thank you. So honey, what did we learn from cancer?
Well, we learned a lot of things, but one thing we learned is that cancer is very expensive.
It's definitely true, but you need to think of the money we saved on shampoo. You know, there were some ironic situations we encountered along the way. Do you remember what my oncologist emphasized before beginning chemo?
He warned you that your immune system would be severely compromised and you should stay away from germs and avoid sick people.
That's what he said to us, and my response was, Doc, my frequent appointments with you are at a hospital which is full of sick people.
Dan, didn't you say you had some photos of neighbors that you wanted to show?
Yeah, sure do. The first, and you see it up on the walls here. This was shortly after I received the cancer diagnosis in December. It was the first snowfall of the season. We woke up to our driveway being full of snow and full of neighbors clearing that snow. That's neighbor Tim there, and he's with us this evening. Thanks for coming. Here's another photo. My neighbors will recognize those guys. This was taken at a July 4th party. We call this photo the Bald Guys of the Hood.
These friends said they assumed the bald look to stand in solidarity with Dan.
I don't know how accurate that is. I think all of them were bald years before I began chemo. Although I was the one with cancer, it was a journey that Deb and I took together. I thought it would be good to hear Deb's perspective, and then she's gonna go through a timeline with you of our journey, our cancer journey over the past year.
Cancer is a robber and a thief. It has taken so much from us, robbing us of time and opportunities. It has kept us up at night and stolen our sleep. There were family events missed that we can never recover. There were times at the lake this summer that didn't occur. Cancer stripped away our priorities. The things that were important to us on Friday afternoon suddenly were of little significance to us on Monday. Cancer came into our life and took over. I saw cancer as a gigantic taker, and I hated cancer.
Me too.
I'm beginning to learn through this trial that as much as cancer has taken from us, it has also given us opportunities. Many of you wouldn't be here tonight if it weren't for cancer. We have met people and developed relationships that wouldn't have occurred apart from cancer. I have learned from the cancer, and I've been changed by cancer. It really is true that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Cancer has not demolished the foundation on which my life is built. Rather, it has been fortified. My heart has become more firmly established. God has been working in and through me by this experience. Now, I know it doesn't look that way sometimes. You can find me in a puddle of tears a dozen times most days. And you'll probably see that later tonight. Well, if you don't see it before I finish. Believe me, I'm the girl who has graduated from ordinary tissues to paper towels. One sheet of Bounty will hold as many tears as 10 to 20 tissues. I'm not joking. So yes, cancer came into our lives, it robbed us, and it took over. But God has been using cancer to renovate our hearts through this process. I'm just going to review with you the timeline that we've gone through and how things have gone these last 14, 15 months. Started in August a year ago, August 2016, that Dan started experiencing symptoms. He had a cough that was persistent. It just wouldn't go away. It was similar to the type of thing that he'd had previous winters, and it would just hang on and hang on. So we thought it was the same thing. It wasn't until September or so that he saw his primary care doctor to get treated, and he was treated as if it were an upper respiratory infection. He returned to the primary care 2-3 times or so. The month of October, he had appointments and treatments. And in November, we sought a GI specialist, gastrointestinal. A friend had suggested maybe it was acid reflux and to get that checked out. And Dan had an endoscopy. And then on Monday, December 5th, we went to get the results of the endoscopy, expecting it was going to be, oh, you know, we'll just give you this and this, and, you know, you'll be happy and good in no time. And he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, large B cell, H. pylori negative. I was shocked. The doctor just kept right on going after he announced to us what he had, and lymphoma, that's cancer. But he kept on talking, and to me it was a big deal. To the doctor, it was an ordinary day. We started research right away. Cancer became the priority. On December 29th, from all the acid reflux, the gag reflux that he was getting, the coughing, Dan had an area of bowel that popped out, and he needed emergency surgery to correct that, and he had an umbilical hernia repaired for that. For the months of December through April, we did a number of natural treatments, all under the direction of the oncologist and naturopathic doctor. And in January, Dan was improving, and the appointments with the oncologist and naturopathic doctor continued. In February, he had a PET scan. This was a big, big milestone. Things were looking good. He felt so good that in March, he took an annual trip to California for a week with a group of men from our church. Had a wonderful time, felt great on the trip. Everything seemed like it was going fantastic. And then in April, something changed. It was like someone flipped a switch like that. Dan started experiencing pain in his spine, in his abdomen, in his chest. The swelling from the lymphoma was putting pressure on his internal organs. It was making it difficult for him to breathe, and he was feeling bad. We sought the advice of the oncologist again, and at this time we needed to turn to chemo. His first chemotherapy treatment was on May 1st. From May through July, he continued the chemo. He was scheduled to have 6 treatments. He ended up having 5 and then stopped, and the oncologist tells us now it's the best thing he could have done. In that time, he had a lot of side effects from the chemo, not pleasant. He had 5 emergency visits to the emergency room. He was hospitalized 5 times between May 1st and August 1st, thereabouts. Okay. In September, the side effects were gradually subsiding. He had seen effects from the chemo, and things looked like they were going well. And that brings us up to
me
now.
Talking.
Thank you.
As Deb's taking her seat, I want to express the immense thanks I have to God for the wife he provided for me. I couldn't have taken this journey alone. Couldn't have done it without her. She was the one who was emptying the puke bucket. She was the one picking me up after I had a couple fainting spells. She was the one driving me to the emergency room at 2 o'clock in the morning. She was the one managing my medications. She was the one scheduling the doctor's appointments. She was the one dealing with the insurance companies, which was a full-time job in and of itself. Honey, I thank you, and I thank God for giving you to me. I also want to thank my son, Tim, who isn't able to be here tonight. He is the one who did all of the heavy lifting while he was home for 3 or 4 months during the summer. He's in college out in Ohio now. God is good. God is good. Do you believe that? God is good all the time. So, Deb gave you the journey we've been on. Where are we now and what lies ahead? Deb took you through the journey over this past year and brought us up to just about a month ago. Here I am, mid-August. I'm at the Cancer Center, St. Joe's Hospital over in Nashua, and I'm ringing the bell, signifying that chemo is done, the cancer is gone, it's time to resume a normal life again. Shortly after ringing the bell, we began to plan for the special event you're at this evening, a celebration of life, an opportunity for us to thank each one of you for everything you've done for us over this past year. Yes, we entered September just a few weeks ago. The side effects of the chemo were diminishing. I was quickly regaining my strength and resumed an exercise regimen. I also began to resume somewhat of a normal work schedule. For many months, I had been working only out of the house and only when I felt up to it, but now I was venturing out, visiting my accounts. We began to plan some trips and vacation time away. Life was quickly getting back to normal. A couple weeks ago, we had a follow-up appointment with the oncologist, and we learned that the latest PET scan was showing some abnormal activity in the abdomen. This was a major setback, but it didn't appear to be a critical development. I thought, oh no, they're gonna hit me with another round or two of chemo. Over the past 2 weeks, we had additional consultations with our own oncologist. We had an appointment with the surgeon, and we received additional opinions, counsel from those who specialize in lymphoma down at Leahy Clinic in Burlington, and also Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston. Just a few days ago, we received the diagnosis and prognosis after all of these cancer experts collaborated and discuss things among themselves. It is believed that the abnormal mass they found in my abdomen is cancer once again. Bear with me. It is lymphoma, and it is a cancer that has morphed into a form that is resistant to chemo treatment. I have been told by my oncologist that all viable medical options have been exhausted. the best that conventional medicine can offer at this time is clinical trials. More experimental medicine. And these trials all have survival rates of under 20%. The information we've gained at this time would indicate that my days are limited, likely time frame of a few months. I am scheduled to have another PET scan done in a few weeks, which should show how fast or how slow the cancer is progressing. We are currently gathering more information in regard to clinical trials. In addition, we are pursuing natural treatments, hoping to delay any rapid development of the cancer. Cancer is said to be a merciful killer in that it typically takes time. It gives opportunity for one to settle affairs and to say goodbye. Next week, Deb and I will be flying out to Ohio to spend a few days with Tim. At the present time, I'm feeling good. Ironically, despite the grim prognosis, I am feeling the best I have in over a year now. I am resolved with King David thousands of years ago, who in Psalm 34 said, "My times are in thy hands. My times are in thy hands." Ultimately, God determines the number of our days. Not me, not cancer, not my doctor, not any treatment I receive. God determines how long I will live. It doesn't matter what survival rate my doctor assigns to my condition. If it's God's will to give me another decade of life, the survival rate then is 100%. God graciously has given me 56 years of life. Each day is a gift from him. If God chooses to extend my life, I pray that each day would glorify him. If God chooses to take me soon, may all glory go to him. Whether I live or die, I belong to the Lord. God is good. And I know some of you might be questioning that with what I've just told you. But God is good. God is good all the time. Do you believe it? Do you live it? God's goodness isn't contingent on how I feel on any given day. God's goodness isn't contingent on how long I live. God is good because that is his nature. I have experienced God's goodness in this life, and I am confident that I will experience the full extent of God's goodness throughout eternity in His presence. What impact has cancer had on me? Has it changed my perspective? Has it changed my priorities? Has it changed me personally? For the next 10 minutes, I want to talk about life lessons that I've learned from the journey that I've taken. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, inevitably, it does impact your perspective, your priorities, and even your philosophy of life. I can identify a number of rather practical changes that I've seen take place within me. I don't get uptight and upset when someone cuts me off in traffic. Go ahead, cut in front of me. Get to the next red light 3 seconds before I do. I appreciate family and friends more. I've come to learn that the most important thing in life is not things, but it's the people who love you. I have become more compassionate towards others. In a new way, I feel the pain that others experience in the trials they're going through. There have been many changes in my thinking, but I want to take a few minutes to focus on three big, life-changing, eternal impact in regard to how I've thought. First, God is sovereign. This was a tough one for me. I want to feel like I am in control. I am highly organized. I want things to be in order. I want there to be a plan, and then I want to stick to the plan. I am goal-oriented. Here is what I will accomplish today, this week, this year. On December 5th, I received their cancer diagnosis. Suddenly, I was losing control. Losing control of what I thought was a well-organized, all-together life. As the cancer diagnosis sank in, I remember lying on the couch at home thinking, how did my life begin? How did my life begin? I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose when, where, or how my life began. I didn't choose my parents, didn't choose my siblings, my relatives. I didn't choose my race, my height, my eye color. Then I thought, how would my life end? Do I have a choice as to whether I will die? As the old saying goes, death and taxes are the only guarantees we have. Do I have a choice as to when, where, or how I would die? God is sovereign because He is the creator of all things. God alone rightfully his sovereign control over his creation. God alone legitimately can judge and rule over his creation because he is the creator. My natural tendency was to resist God's sovereignty over me. I thought I was the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I will not acknowledge God as my creator. I will not submit to his sovereignty. What a self-delusion on my part to think that I had ultimate control. I needed an honest assessment of who God is. God is sovereign because he is the creator. Not only did I need an honest assessment of God, but I needed an honest assessment of myself. This brings me to the next life lesson learned. I am a sinner. This life lesson was tougher than the first for me to come to grips with. I naturally thought, I am an okay guy. I know I'm not perfect, but compared to Hitler, you know, when I compared myself to others, I wasn't much worse than any other guy. The problem was my standard of measurement wasn't the same as God's. The question regarding my own condition before God is not how I compare to others, but how I compare to God's holiness. By God's measurement, I had fallen woefully short of his glory. You know, I do realize that any discussion about sin is just so politically incorrect in the day we live. But let me tell you, when I got that cancer diagnosis back on December 5th, and I was facing the real possibility of death, of necessity, I needed an accurate assessment of my own condition before God. Trust me on this. Those who know me the best can attest that, yes, I am a sinner. If I look at my own heart, my sinful condition before the holy God is readily established. Not only have I broken God's law, but in prideful arrogance, I was at enmity with God. I did not want a sovereign God, a sovereign creator ruling over me. I did not want to obey or even acknowledge God's law. Years ago, as a young man, God convicted me of my sinful condition, and I cried out to God for his mercy and grace. But you know, it's been a lifelong process of learning what my true condition is before God. During this past year, as I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I took pause to once again consider who God is and who I am. The best I can claim before you today is that I am a forgiven sinner, a forgiven sinner. And that brings me to my third and final life lesson learned, and that is God saves sinners. As I considered who God is and who I am, it became evident to me that I needed saving from a desperate condition which I had no ability to remedy. There was a certain point during my battle with cancer. It was towards the end of April before I began chemo. The cancer had really taken off and was growing and spreading quickly within my body. It was restricting my ability to breathe. It was causing pressure on my spine, making it difficult even to stand up. As I face the reality that my life may soon end, I wanted to be sure that my eternal destiny was settled and sure. This was a question that as a young man I had dealt with, but now with death staring me in the face, I wanted to be sure that my relationship to God was secure. I realized the only hope of being right with God needed to be based upon what he did on my behalf, in that he extended to me by mercy through his grace something that I definitely did not merit, did not deserve. I had no confidence in myself that in any way I merited God's favor being extended to me. My only hope is in God's word that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for me. Christ died for me as a sinner, not because of who I was or anything I could in any way offer to him. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, took upon himself on the cross the penalty for sin which I deserved. He died in my place, and he rose from the dead in victory over death. I have a living Savior who has forgiven my sin and given me life. This is what gives me hope and confidence as I prepare to die and meet my Creator. God is sovereign. I am a sinner. God saves sinners. I want to conclude by saying how much I appreciate each one of you. Many thanks for your prayers, your acts of kindness that have just been so overwhelming to me. My prayer for you is that these life lessons which have been impressed upon me may become a reality for you, of course, without cancer being involved. I want to call my good friend Chris Dyer, who is the assistant pastor of the church, up to kind of wrap things up and give us instructions on the refreshments. But I do thank each one of you for coming and covet your prayers for the days to come.
I'm just going to pray for them for a minute, if you don't mind. Let's bow our heads. Father, it's these times when the reality that we are but dust makes us search our souls deeply. I do thank you for this evening, the time that we could spend together with Dan and Deb, and for them being so open and so thankful for the friends and family that are here to support them and to love them. Lord, we want to lift them before you, knowing that the prognosis is not good, that you would go before them and help them and strengthen them and give them grace. But beyond that, Lord, we understand that it's through grace, your grace, that we can have confidence in times like this. And I thank you for Dan and his confidence in his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did pay the penalty for sin for all who would call upon him. And Lord, I pray that if there are some here tonight who have heard this truth of the gospel, maybe even for the first time, that they might consider what the claims of your word say, that we are indeed all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, and that you do love us, and that you loved us to the point that you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world, and that it's up to us to call upon that Savior in faith. Lord, we just are grieved and will sorrow with them as they go through this continued journey. Pray that you'd help each of us to be a good friend, to continue our support through these ultimately difficult times. But Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. And that makes the sorrow not so bad to know that we are secure in Christ, and that Dan knows that he's secure in Christ, and that we will be together ultimately in eternity. Father, just thank you for the time and pray for your blessing on the fellowship to follow, and thank you for the food and just the people that are here, and pray that we would use the time that you've given to us. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.